Hello, the 5 minutes the prophet has the word of God, episode 103. 103. Okay, so we are going for a fundamental scripture, which is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And what is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 saying? By this time, she'll be able to say it offhand. Okay, let's go now. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. But we're looking at it just by 2 Timothy 3:16, which also says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then he says it is profitable. If Paul is drawing the borderline, saying, listen, if you want to operate within scripture to profit you, then it is given for you for doctrine, number one, for reproof, which I explained in the other the previous episode, and then for correction. So right now we're looking at correction. When we say correction, what are we saying? Because the reproof and the correction, they look like they are the same, but they are not the same. There is a cardinal difference. And what's the difference between reproof and correction? Listen, they are both related to errors or mistakes and their consequences. Both reproof and correction are related. They are related because when you are looking at the evidence, which is reproof is evidence, okay? So when you look at the evidence and then you're looking at correction, something happens. You are able to set things right. You are able to set things right. So reproof will be an expression of blame or disapproval. Correction refers to an action or process of correcting, setting something right. So now, what's the difference between them of reproof and correction? One is centered on setting something right. That is correcting. When you are correcting, you are setting something right. But when you are reproving, you are pointing to that thing which is wrong. Are you saying? You are bringing up evidence to show that this thing is not right. This thing does not fall within the scripture, or it's error. Okay. So now, when you are growing up in the Lord, when you come into Christianity, you have certain way you used to think. Many of us read my book of Bible stories, and there were so many things inside that we took for granted. We thought they were true. We thought they were true. I mean, some of us think that there was an apple that Adam and Eve ate in the garden. I mean, it says fruit, but people have now said that it is an apple. So Adam and Eve ate an apple. Then Cain and Abel, when they were sacrificing, said, okay, the smoke of Cain was not going anywhere. It was going in circles. And the sacrifice of Abel went up. And that is why, you know, a lot of things that we had, we've come into Christianity with all of these ones. But as we are growing and we are reading the Bible and we're growing in grace, we are growing in knowledge, we are reading, going to the epistles, looking at it, looking at the types and shadows, so when God said that fruit, it was not an apple, then you're getting corrected. You see, the thing is that you have to be flexible. You have to make yourself flexible. You have to be flexible enough to correct that which you thought was right and set it aright. I trust you're getting me. Yeah, so when you, one of the things I do for myself, that when I read the Bible and I realize that what I thought was a mistake, I do not hold on to my mistake. What do you gain by holding on to your mistake? Why can't you be humble enough to say that I was wrong in this? And you know, I thought I often preach and I'll say, I thought that it was the, but when I read it, I realized that it is rather this way. What do you gain by insisting that because you heard this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, look at the people of the world. When they are doing a medical doctor or a lawyer or an academician, when they write and they realize that there is something, an improvement on their version, you don't keep saying that it's my version. That no, an improvement has come. Why don't we use it? It baffles me. So when you read the word and you're reading the rest, now when you look at it again, you look at it, you realize that, no, you know, I used to think this way, but this is the right way. As for me, anytime I come to that, I would throw away what I thought I knew. I would throw it away. I have to take on, the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes to see this. Why should I hold on to what I thought was true? Why would I? I would rather hold on to what is revealed, the truth I have come to know. And I'd rather build on it, say, look at that, I thought this, but now I know. And I said, no, you know, I used to think like that, but now I understand this scripture better. And then you build on it. That is the way to progress. But if you adamantly hold on and say, what are you doing that for? I don't know, honestly. I think that, because when the truth, if they did that in the world, we will still be in the Stone Ages, if they did that in the world. But I don't know why we have to improve. We have to look at the word. As you have read and read and read, you come to a point where you realize, no, this says this. Then you look at it, you go back to the other, put scripture by scripture, and then you take the correct yourself. Just correct yourself midstream. Correct yourself. You're so blessed. As you hear these things, they are working in your life. You're blessed. Bye.